Live and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we turn to the text this evening, where we're in Genesis chapter 26, we'll pick up with verses 18 through 22 as a unit. All right, whatever else is going on in our life right now is not the time to be concerned with these things. Now is the time to make sure that we are plugged in with the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, that is, utilize and rebound as necessary so that we can once again this evening study to show ourselves approved before God, so that we are not as those before the bema seat that are ashamed, but be unashamed, and therefore glorify God in regards to our Christian life as is so intended. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in the context, as it has transpired, famine overtook the general area of the land which Isaac was living in, the southern region in Negev. And God instructed him to relocate to Gerar, the Philistine era area, where his father Abraham had once resided, as deliverance regards to the famine in and of itself. He's been there now for some length of time. And during that time, God blessed Isaac immensely, exceedingly. And this in spite of, obviously, the ramifications, the repercussions, as it might be in regards to being during a time of famine, even though this region was spared to a certain degree, the consequences of that famine. And as we saw in regards to his being blessed by God, that envy overtook the Philistine population. And he has been instructed by Abimelech, the title for the king of Philistia, at that time to leave them and go away from them. And here we pick up in the aspect of that process of Isaac leaving where he had immediately settled in the suburban area, if you will, around Gerar, moving away with his industry, his vast wealth that God had blessed him with, and events that occurred during this process. Here in verses 18 through 22, titled these verses, "The Philistine Contention Over Water Rights." Now, it's not enough that Isaac's been told to leave. And as revenge tactics, the Philistines have filled up all the previous wells that his father Abraham had dug. We now see harassment that will ensue as he goes out and tries to once again resupply himself with his precious commodity and survive with his vast wealth and industry otherwise. So verse 18, looking here at the Hebrew, "Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham." You have the wow consecutive. And then in the Hebrew you have the verb to return, the Kalim perfect third masculine singular verb shub, S-H-U-B. "And he returned," that being Isaac, proper noun. "And dug again," returned is kind of implied in the word again, denoting a return. Here, while consecutive, then our verb to dig is a cow imperfect third masculine singular Kaphar, C-H-A-P-H-A-R, Kaphar. Sign a direct object to note what he dug. The wells of water. You have the common feminine plural construct of the noun bear, B-E-E-R. It's not a noun. That's a noun, not a verb. In the parsing, the little letters before you, the B slash com, that's kind of code, so I kind of know what we're looking at here. That should be an N for a noun, not a verb. Wells of, and then our word for water with the definite article in Hebrew, common masculine plural, absolute noun, ha mayim, M-A-Y-I-N. Which is a relative pronoun as share, A-S-H-E-R. They dug, cow perfect for common plural here. Again, kafar, our verb. In the days of Abraham, preposition bet, and then our noun for days, common masculine plural construct yom, Y-O-M. Abraham, transliterate, his father. The common masculine singular construct noun with the third masculine singular suffix, our word for father, av, A-V. For the Philistines that stopped them up after the death of Abraham. While consecutive, our verb to stop up, close up, is a PL imperfect third masculine plural with the third masculine plural suffix, Satham, S-A-T-H-A-M. The wells obviously imbues what they stopped up. The Philistines, proper noun, after the death of Abraham. Kind of seems redundant here, but we'll address this. You have the adverb acherei, A-C-H-E-R-E-Y. The death of is the common masculine singular construct noun muth, a word for death, M-U-T-H, common word, Abraham. And he gave them the same names which his father had given them. While consecutive, then our verb gave is actually he called. Cow and perfect third masculine singer, Kara, Q-A-R-A, and he called. Preposition lamed with the third feminine plural suffix, for them, literally. Feminine obviously looks to our noun for wells, which is a feminine gender. You must agree in number and gender in this respect. He called them names. Like the names in the Hebrew. You have the common masculine plural absolute noun, our word for name, Shem, S-H-E-M, followed with the preposition kaf, and the definite article noun, common masculine plural absolute, Shem, repeated. Names like the names, so hence same names. Which, relative pronoun Asher, he had called them his father, being the one calling them the like names. That's the Hebrew. Our verb to call, that cow perfect, third masculine singer. Preposition lamed, again with the third feminine plural suffix. And then our noun for father again, av, with the third masculine singer suffix, av. Verse 19, we see the Philistines reacting again. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, one well in particular sets them off once again. You have the wow consecutive. Our verb to dig here, again, is kafar, C-H-A-P-H-A-R, cow imperfect third masculine plural. This being the servants of Isaac. Our noun for servants, common masculine plural construct, eved, E-B-E-D. Isaac, transliterated, in the valley, that being the valley of Gerar, as verse 17 noted specifically. You have the preposition bet, definite article, and then our noun for valley, ha Nachal, calling masculine singular absolute, N-A-C-H-A-L. And they found there a well of flowing water. And they found is the wow consecutive, and our verb define is the cow and perfect third masculine plural, matsa, M-A-T-S-A. There is the adverb sham, S-H-A-M, and that particular area. Again, our noun for well, common feminine singular construct, be'er, E-E-E-R. A flowing water. Flowing water is actually water of life in the literal. Yeah, the common masculine plural absolute, mayim, again, are noun for water. And then followed with the adjective masculine plural absolute, k, which means living or alive, hence flowing, is active, you see, is the idea, C-H-A-Y. Verse 20, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. So, immediately upon completing the excavation of this well, excavation of it, we see the herdsmen of Gerar jumping into the middle of it all. And their list first insinuates they're the instigators here of the quarrel. Even though they may take issue otherwise. You have the wow consecutive, and then you have first in the Hebrew a word for quarreled or contended, is the cow imperfect third masculine plural, riv, R-I-Y-B, and they contended or strived. Then the ones doing the contending or quarreling are the herdsmen. You have the cow participle masculine plural construct, our verb ra'ah, R-A-A-H, literally the ones tending, pasturing, it would be the literal Hebrew, hence herdsmen, herdsmen of Gerar, transliterated, with preposition in, denoting the competition here, I am, the herdsmen, ra'ah, again, as a cow participle masculine plural construct, here of Isaac, transliterated, and saying or giving the reason why the quarrel ensued, you have the preposition with the cow imperfect, cow infinitive construct, while saying is how you would translate it, Amar, A-M-A-R, the Lamed, preposition Lamed. Literally, for us, the water in the Hebrew. You had the preposition lamed again here with the first common plural suffix for us, and then our noun for water with the definite article. The specific commodity in view here, common masculine plural absolute, ma'im. So he named the well Esek, being Isaac, because they contended with him. Wow consecutive, again. Named is in the Hebrew called the name of the well. Cal and perfect third masculine singular, Kara, Q A R A. Well, again, name is Nix, common masculine singular construct, Shem. Same construct as before, definite article or noun for well, Be'er, common feminine singular absolute. Esek is the proper noun, E-S-E-Q, sec, means contention. Then you have a conjunction, as it is explained to us, key, because, K-I-Y, they themselves contended. You had the hith pile, which is reflexive in the Hebrew, perfect third common plural, our verb asak, A-S-A-K, with him. Quarreling and contention are synonymous, if you will. With him is a preposition in. I am, again, repeated with the third masculine singular suffix. So Isaac relents, if you will. And he moves on and he digs another well. That's verse 21. Then they dug another well and they quarreled over it too. So he named it Sitnah. Wow, consecutive. Again, our verb to dig, kafar, C-H-A-P-H-A-R, cal, imperfect third masculine plural, a well, bear, common feminine singular absolute. Again, is afterwards, after the spring water well that they discovered. You have the adjective, feminine singular absolute, akarei, afterwards, A-C-H. E-R-E-Y, afterwards, or again. Wow, consecutive. And then our verb quarreled is the, again, reeve, R-I-Y-V, cal imperfect third masculine plural. Also, that's conjunction gom. Two is how they translated New American with the double O-G-A-N. Over it. Preposition all with the third feminine singular suffix, al. So he named it Sitnah, wow, consecutive. He called it the name of. He called the name of it literally. Again, our typical construction, our verb kara, cal imperfect third masculine singular, followed with our noun for shim, a noun for name shim. Common masculine singular construct, third feminine singular suffix, called the name of it. And then our name he titled this one is Sithenah, S-I-T-H-E-N-A-H. That literally means enmity or accusation. It's a family of words, a cognate of the very Hebrew word for Satan, adversary. That's what Satan means, adversary. Sithenah. Verse 22, and he moved away from there and dug another well. So again, he relents. He doesn't push the issue. He simply moves on. Well, consecutive. Then our verb here to move away, which is included as an additional note of item here, after digging the other well, obviously in closer proximity to that first well. He moved away, is a long ways away, is the idea here. He had the hip fill, imperfect third masculine singular. He considered the situation as it stood, and he made a decision causing the move, is the idea. Athak, A-T-H-A-Q. From there, preposition men with the adverb sham, S-H-A-M. And dug another well, wow, consecutive. Our verb to dig, kafar, well, bear. Afterwards, or again, another here, as is translated, akarei, A-C-H-E-R-E-Y. He dug a well afterwards. And they did not quarrel over it. Finally, they themselves pulled their horns in. Wow, conjunction, you had the negative particle low, introducing the verb to quarrel or contend, cal imperfect third common plural again, our word reeve, R-I-Y-B. Over it is a preposition all with a third feminine singular suffix. So he has a name for it too, so he named it Rehoboth. For he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Again, we had the same construction in the phrase, so he named it, is so he called the name of it. Wow, consecutive, our verb kara, name shim with the third feminine singular suffix, reference to the well. And then our name here is Rehoboth, R-E-C-H, S-O-B-O-T-H. Literally means broad expanse or roomy, open place. Rehoboth. And he said, while consecutive, our verb to say, amar, A-M-A-R, Calvin Perfect Third Maximus Singer, because now, literally, at last, as it's translated, you have the conjunction key, K-I-Y, plus the adverb atta, A-T-T-A-H. The Lord is our noun Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. Lord for us, because he made cause to make wide the Lord for us, literally in the Hebrew, preposition lamed with the first common plural suffix, and we will bear fruit or be fruitful in the land. While consecutive, our verb to bear fruit is a cal perfect first common plural, pharah, P-H-A-R-A-H. Be fruitful in the land, preposition bet, definite article, our noun for land, typical noun here used quite often, common feminine singular absolute, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. All right, rereading the verses here. Then Isaac returned and dug the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, because the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called in names like or as which his father had given them, the same names. Verse 19, but when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water or living water, the herdsmen of Gerar, verse 20, quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. They claim the rights, water rights, of this particular well. So he named the well Essek, because they contended with him. In verse 21, then they dug another well, assumedly in the general vicinity, and they quarreled over it also. So he named it Sitnah, enmity, accusation, accuser. Verse 22, and he caused to move away from there. So now he leaves that general region that the conflict had occurred, and then he dug another well. And this time they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth, open places, open space, roomy. For he said, at last, Yahweh has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. All right, the verse analysis of verses 18 through 22. One, having moved south from the capital city, Gerar, to the more remote valley of Gerar, recognizing a difference of the general region, obviously this would give you an idea of the capital being topographically in a fairly low-lying area, which is more fertile, generally speaking, valleys are, than the higher lands, wilderness area, as you move further south, etc., to the Negev. So he, the intellect tells him, pack up your stuff and get out. Obviously, pressure by the Philistines and being envious of him, he capitulates, as wrong as it may be, to the pressures of his citizens. And obviously whatever else, whatever SCA issue he has, as he gives the excuse, you know, Isaac will become more powerful than us, even though it's not true that Isaac would abuse it even if he did. And Isaac packs up wherever he had settled in a fairly permanent location during the time with all his cattle, his industry, his servants, his vast wealth that he had, and moves further away from the area into the valley proper. So having moved south from the capital city, Gerar, to the more remote valley of Gerar, verse 17, water becomes obviously more scarce, impacted by the drought. Again, I don't know how well you can see these maps. Watch it while it's there, because it's going to disappear in a second. There's the area of Philistia. Here is Gaza on this particular map. Gerar is going to be basically south, maybe a little west, in this general area here. You can see that dot. The valley here in this region is going to run generally in this location down through here. So he moves from the capital, from the suburbia proper, into the valley in some general area. Now we know he ends up in Beersheba. Beersheba is located right here. So in his moves, he basically moves south, southwest, and curves back around ultimately to Beersheba. So that is on the map, as close as we can get. They're not exactly for sure where Gerar was at, but most of them are like-minded of the general area that I just showed you, and most archaeologists, historians. So he's moving. Obviously, the proper area in that general vicinity, Gerar, was able to survive the famine. It's not to go unnoted that the famine probably had impact on him, but not to the degree as it would be further to the wilderness area, further south, etc., in the higher highlands, hill area, hill countries, further south of that. Obviously, what the Philistines are probably not considering is that their deliverance in that general region has a lot to do with the fact that this is where God sent Isaac to deliver him from the famine. And hence, in blessing by association, they, in certain terms, are being protected themselves. So now he moves away from there because they have turned hostile. And he has been told to move. And moving further away from the area that he was able to have good farming, start his farming corporation, and his livestock assets to grow immensely and become very wealthy, moving in a nomadic style now again in his life, moving further south. Water is, you're getting closer to where the famine area hit the hardest, so water is going to once again become an issue to support this industry that God's blessed him with. So again, you know, with the testing, with the blessing comes testing. It's just the way it is. Testing and blessing operate hand in hand. And while one is giving much, much is expected in regards to application with respect to the prosperity or whatever else God has blessed him with. New Testament doctrine makes that very clear. So moving to an area that is not as well hydrated, he's going to have to engage in some work to regain the advantage of having water as he moves. So, two, the first item on the list to support The vast ranching industry afforded Isaac, that we saw back in verses 12 through 14, which indeed was vast. God blessed him as he did his father Abraham, hands over fists, as we would say. So the first item on the list is support. All of his livestock, all of the entourage of employees, as well as his family, point two, was to locate this precious commodity of water. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. While Shub, Yitzchak, while Kafar, well, bear, Ha-Maim, water, Asher, Kafar, Bet-Yam, Abraham, Av, his father. So three, why these water wells needed restoring now, digging them again, was explained in verse 15. Whereas the Philistines had previously filled them in out of envy and spite towards Isaac. Now that was verse 14b. The Philistines envied him because God blessed him. How often does that happen in life? God chooses who to bless. Whether it's his directive will or whether it's his permissive will, he's in control of it. See? And too often, people come envious because people have more belongings or details of life than they have at any point in time. So, their retaliation, obviously. Since they, under the law that Abimelech had established, couldn't just go out and kill him, lay hands on him, was to go out and basically harass him. Now, obviously, whether they heard Abimelech telling him to get the hell out of town or not, the fact that he's packing up this huge livestock industry makes it very clear what he's doing. See? And the implication is that the citizens going out to fill up these wells either had a premonition or kind of expected things to go this way. And they knew he was going to eventually have to move. And so they go out and they dry up all the water sources that would be or make his life a lot easier, if you will, to start moving away. So it's an harassment technique. And while one may look and say, well, this is a different event where the Philistines are now gone ahead of him, if you will, and doing this as he's moving, the language makes it clear that it was pre-planned to hamper his relocation efforts before he even left in this respect. And the language shows clearly that the two events, the one mentioned back in verse 15, all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth, is the same scenario that is now being looked at again as Isaac is moving, and the language makes it clear. So, for it becomes clear that the Philistines' tactic was harassment, seeking to make Isaac's life more difficult and attempting to drive him away from the region. Not only do you need to leave, we want you completely out of here, basically is the idea. And have fun on the way, trying to maintain all of the life necessary for such a vast corporation of which you are the owner of, in possession of. So often this is the way negative volition will involve themselves, attack in hostility towards positive volition. So that they don't break the law, is find things a way around the law as means of harassment, to simply harass. Obviously, we understand that is something that can have an emotional impact upon people, etc., as we ourselves have certain laws of harassment that to get people not to do these things. get restraining orders and things of this nature. So this is what's going on here to make this thing, to make this whole picture unfold here for us. It's just not some, it's not just an historical recording. It's a real event that occurred. And half the fun going through this is looking and seeing the picture unfold as to why, and other little tidbits of gems that are involved in regards to the situation in and of itself. So they're they've filled in the wells as a means to harass him. And it's also an attempt to let him know that he just needs to move completely away. But for Isaac, his first attempt to move away isn't good enough in their eyes. So five again, as I've explained, to try and do him physical harm would have cost their life. As Abimelech, now we see the law come to his advantage. In the potential hazard of why the law was established, of someone cutting his throat to get his wife Rebecca, comes now and it has further impact in a positive way, even protection for Isaac. That is, as the mass of people then start to turn hostile. Initially, it was just simply fear on Isaac's part. As I brought out, I believe there is a reason behind that this practice occurred. Was probably more common in certain general areas in Egypt, in Philistia, etc. Abimelech didn't deny it. He just simply made a law after he chewed Isaac out that no one could touch Isaac and his wife. Why just them in particular? Why not to make it and reassert that this is illegal if it's not going on? See, but it was one of those things that leadership, rulership, political powers kind of turned a blind eye to when it did occur. And so this law now comes in, and we see an advantage on behalf of Isaac again as they start to turn hostile. The law itself deters them from taking it too far and doing bodily harm to Isaac, or attempt to. Not that God would have necessarily permitted. So six, now that it is the same wells now that was mentioned in verse 15 that Isaac literally returned to in the Hebrew, our verb shub, New American Standard word again, English word again, is alluded to with the author mirroring the phrase in the days of his father Abraham. See, back in 15, it says all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And it's exactly a mirrored phrase in the Hebrew now as it recalls that situation here in verse 18, in the days of his father Abraham, or the father of Abraham, his father, in the name of, literally in the Hebrew, Abraham, his father. So it's a mirrored phrase. So that ties the two events together in the Hebrew. So seven, the author then now in our particular passage, it then accentuates the Philistines' actions more specifically in time. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Now that seems kind of redundant, as he's already said, is after the days of Abraham that they stopped them up in the previous verses, and now again referred to in this respect. Wow, Satham, Pelasheti, Akare, Muth, Abraham. So what's this pointing to? Eight, this re-emphasis of filling in the wells after the death of Abraham is designed to imply that times have changed since the days of Abraham sojourning in the area. It kind of gives you a cutting off point viewing the political climate and situation as it would occur during Abraham in this same area of Philistia, as it now is occurring with Isaac under the two Abimelechs that are in view. So this re-emphasis of filling in the wells, point 8, is designed to imply that times have changed since the days of Abraham sojourning in the area. Back in 20, verse 1, basically, Abraham had free reign. We don't really see him hassled at all by the people or by the king. In fact, the king embraces him in spite of his gross failure of lying and scheming. See. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And then the events unfold in that regards, and remembering back, recalling Abimelech gets called by God, his hand's called by God because he took Sarah, unknown to him, that she was married, Abraham. And he still graces out Abraham. And basically, he sees God's hand in this thing, Abimelech does. And his response back to Abraham, gracing him out, is he gives him free rein to go around the land and settle wherever he'd like to settle. And enjoy the region in his own right. And even with the pact that had occurred at Beersheba, Abimelech went even further and gave him certain rights to at least one well. That is the well of Beersheba. To call his own, that this became this water source became his possession. See, so after the death of Abraham, we see a different picture that's going on with this region of Philistia and Isaac being in there. So 9 to 2 exact phrases in the days of Father Abraham ties the two scenarios together. The filling and digging of the wells. Filling in by the Philistines, now the redigging by Isaac. While the more specific mention of Abraham's death recognizes a political climate change in Gerar since Abraham's time. Point 10, that is, with the passing of Abraham and the Abimelech of his time, the king of Philistia of his time, the present administration no longer feels compelled to honor any previous pact between the two peoples. So this is another reason why I align myself that Abimelech is simply a title. It's not an actual name of the kings, and that we're dealing with two different kings here, two different centuries. Because this has not had the characteristics of the Abimelech during Abraham's time. And now there seems to be this attitude, the atmosphere, that after Abraham died, okay, we're not really held accountable for any of this stuff now. Even though the first king inscribed it to be carried on into the generations to follow. But we're dealing with two people that have two different spiritual levels in their own lives too. See, all these things make a difference. So, with the passing of Abraham and Abimelech of his time, the present administration no longer feels compelled to honor any previous pact between the two peoples. 11, the rephrasing of Abraham's past after the death of Abraham, that phrase, suggests that the current antagonism of the Philistines would not have been tolerated or allowed by their previous king. But things have changed as it occurs over time. At least 100 years. We see how fast things change in a decade around here in our country. Stuff that would have not even been thought as possible are now the reality in regards to immorality and other things that are being embraced by society. So 12, having unearthed the wells, now Moses tells us that Isaac, quote, gave them the same names which his father had given them, end quote. kara lamed shem kaf hashem asher kara lamed av. 13. Now, why Isaac did so is not stated. And all we are really left with for reasoning why he mimicked his dad in naming these wells is that he is remembering his dad during the process. So we're not told any reason. All we have is the fact that he did so. Well, what is the one logical conclusion? Well, he's thinking of his dad as he's renaming these wells. So 14, now this clause comes off as nostalgic, a longing, if you will, with Isaac reminiscing better times between his family and the Philistines. In correlation with his applications that we see through this process, the well digging, the quarreling, the continuing to moving on, Isaac being passive in the situation, turning the other cheek, if you will, and moving on. All this kind of ties into this whole scenario. It sets the mood. See, it sets the mood for the context. And this is not what Isaac desires. He is not a man of conflict. He is not a man, a believer, of enmity. He is a man that desires peace. Peace and harmony with his neighbors, etc. You know, live and let live kind of deal, if nothing else, at the very least. So the clause here, the naming after the wells after the names that his father gave them, it is nostalgic. It is recalling of how it was when his dad was alive. You know, kind of like for maybe some of us. When our parents were younger, when we were younger, see. Better times. Better ethics and morality of society and things of this nature. You know. So 15, now the Philistines, as Isaac moves on, and he starts redigging these wells and naming them, again after his father. At point 15, the Philistines temporarily refrain from interfering with Isaac's reconstruction of the wells, letting his extra trouble soothe their resentment. What you're left with the idea, digging these wells, that there was more than just one or two wells. Not just the well, the flowing water and the falling well. There are other wells made available. And he's got a vast empire of cattle, so he's going to need a few watering holes, see, not just one or two. So, at the beginning of the situation, he moves into the valley area. He gets away from the main population of area to a certain degree. He's digging these wells. We can survive. It's just more work for us. Let's get with it and do their thing. And at least momentarily, the Philistines don't do anything. 16, yet envy remained in their hearts and reappears again, quote, when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water. Wow, Kafar, Aved, Yisakak, Beth Ha, Nakal, Wow, Matzah, Sham, Ver, Ma'in, Kai. Life. So 17, while the wells uncovered previously were dependent upon groundwater for supply and provided some support, this well was very valuable because it was an actual spring providing a continuous flow of water for the Hebrew Mayim Kai, or moving or running water. It wasn't just a pocket of water. Obviously, they had hit either some aquifer or some other ongoing source of water. And it was actually a spring that would continue to reproduce and produce water in its own right, rather than just hitting and depending upon groundwater. Obviously, groundwater is fine, but if you get a drought and it dries up, then you're sunk. This kind of water, you got to find another source of water. Tell everybody about that. This kind of situation with a spring, that basically is going to not be an issue, even where there may be surface water, rivers, and lakes. When you have underground sources of water, that is a guarantee that even when these things dry up, you'll still have a source of water. So this is the issue now. He's dug these wells. They're all right. They're nothing to bark at. Anybody with a, if in Australia that's got a long stick and being grown up as an Aussie can find water out in the desert with a straw, you know, suck it up, and there you go. Or dig the hole, find some damp sand, you know, and survive. But not this one. This well, this is the one you want to hit. See, this is the gusher for H2O. So when he does that, immediately the Philistines spring into action. So 18, the implication here is that the Philistines had kept their eyes on this particular well. Now remember, they've covered these wells. They know what's there. So the implication is that the Philistines had kept their eyes on this particular well, as they immediately moved in to claim it for their own in verse 20, saying, "The water is ours." Lamed ha ma'im. So you got to put all these little pieces of the puzzle together to get the complete picture. It's just not, well, you hear you eat a big... No. They've covered all of Abraham's wells. Isaac's out here redigging them. Abraham had come across this spring before. And he's now recovering his source. The Philistines knew it. They saw him digging on that. Their eyes were peeled. And when that water was hit, they were on the move. This is a very valuable commodity, see, to have this source of water otherwise. And you say, well, it makes no sense that they would have covered it to begin with. You're dealing with people under envy. You're dealing with people running under their sin natures. How many people do you see that make decisions that make good sense running under their sin natures? See? So 19, and this is kind of puts a little color, a little humor into the Philistines' action of what's going on here. That the Philistines would have covered up such a valuable water source to begin with demonstrates how illogical the SEA can become in its expression, as they essentially, quote, cut off their nose to spite their face, end quote. A saying that I grew up with. To show one's revenge, one hatred towards another, one harms themselves almost. To revenge, get even in regards to the others. And that is, this particular well, continued here in parentheses, point 9 is 19, it represents their overall actions of filling in the wells otherwise. This is stupid. You've had a famine that's going on. Water is what you need. And they run out and they start covering all this stuff up. They start filling in all the holes with water. So what? They can get at Isaac? That's why. See. Like, two people have ownership in a same thing or possession. One gets mad at the other and messes it up just to get back at the other one. But yet, they owned it too. See. This was on their land. They could have gone in, and I guarantee you, Isaac would have shared. Abraham did, you know, all these things. So, it's a lesson that without digging in there, you really kind of miss it. How illogical the SEA can become when it's left undealt with. See, it shows you the temperature of their temper and hostility towards Isaac. They're blinded, if you will, almost, in their anger. Just do anything they can to hurt him. And they come up with this scheme. So, why we are to stay on top of our STA, why we are to apply a rebound, not let it run unbridled, because you never know what next stupid move is going to take you to and help you engage in. It actually is harming your own person. This kind of activity happens all the time in all different areas of life. People doing this. See. So you can think of the things yourselves. We all want to do this, even though it's going to hurt us overall otherwise, just to satisfy some temporary emotional or STA, and it's emotions in this particular situation, envy, response in regards to things, rather than being logical and thinking things through and recognizing the consequences for doing what they're doing. Wars have been started for less. See. 20, the well was a hidden gem, and once it was re-exposed, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac. Reev, Ra, Yer, Rar, Em, Ra, Yisakak. 21, this scenario smacks of the Philistines having previously covered this well to keep selfishly for themselves and hide from Isaac an unlimited H2O source. 22, the disputed employees between Abimelech and Isaac for water rights pictures the strenuous relationship between the peoples having been ignited earlier, all because God blessed one party over the other. That's how it all started. God blessed one and didn't bless the other. Events of life and people taking issue with it. Etc., etc. 23, that any quarreling between the two factions did not lead to blows can again be accounted for with the law protecting Isaac and Rebekah, deterring physical confrontations. And we'll see how this thing continues to play out. Some of it is embedded reasoning in regards to the very names that are given to the wells in and of themselves. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.